This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Usually when you think of a makeup artist, you think of someone who wants to flatter you and make you look pretty. But our guest does exactly the opposite. On the line, we have special effects makeup artist Larry Van Dienhoven. Larry, thank you for joining us on Geeks Out.
No worries at all. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, I've just had the pleasure of watching The Furies, which you've just had. It looks like you've had a marvelous time working on that, designing all sorts of creature masks. And I know you've drawn a lot of inspiration from classic horror. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Look, you're exactly right. I grew up in that era in the 80s and 90s, and there was a lot of great horror films back then. And so pretty much when Tony actually came to me for the film, he just said, look, what can you do? And he gave me a bit of a license, so I was able to kind of use my dream of the past, where I always wanted to be. I just went through all the horror movies and come up with some original ideas, and we took different characters, which, you know, the audience probably hasn't seen yet, but when they watch the film, they'll get a taste of, you know, like all the old classic horror films.
Yeah.
So we're able to just go with it.
Yeah, there's a couple of beasts from the film. I was going to say monsters, but they're actually people underneath. One in particular stood out to me, known as Skin Crow, who is a scarecrow with human skin on it. And tell us a bit about him, because he's the one I'm most fascinated by.
Yeah, so pretty much, I don't want to give the story away for the audience, but the idea was, you know, we wanted something different, original. It's really hard to do so these days, because there's been so many films and horror films, as you know, and it's really hard to be original. So I had a friend of mine who's a conceptual artist, Seth Justice, and what we did was we came up with this idea of one of the killers wearing human skin, and we wanted it to be kind of creepy in a different way. So we kind of came up with, like the past great films that were kind of iconic films that we loved. One was like The Wizard of Oz and Scarecrow. So we decided to use that as a bit of an inspiration. So we wrapped, rope around his wrists and around his neck, like he was trying to hold the skin on. And it kind of, in a weird way, kind of resembled the Scarecrow from Wizard of Oz. And the same for, there's another one that's wearing a baby face, kind of like a baby face kind of mask.
Yeah.
And where we shot that in Canberra, we had a lot of ghost gums. So we kind of complemented the mask with the ghost gums. We painted it grey and had that wood texture through it. And that was kind of loosely based off Pinocchio.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we kind of went through different masks, and we kind of, you know, we thought that would be kind of creepy, something so innocent and so lovely. And then we just turned it on its head and made it creepy and evil, so to speak.
Definitely. The one I want to know more about as well is there's one known as Rotface, who I had a very visceral reaction when I first saw this mask on screen, and I'm trying to work out what the hell is that. Like, you know, tell us how you came up with that one.
Yeah, so that was the one I didn't like. Originally, I didn't want to go that way. Tony, the director, he has a phobia with holes. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, trypophobia.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I basically said to me, I've got this phobia, and I'd never heard of it, to be honest with you. And so he said, anything with holes. And so what I said to him, I said, look, it's becoming a bit more kind of like too much like Friday the 13th, kind of Hockey Mask and a few other films. So he goes, no, we can work it. So we worked on it, and still, the day he shot it, I still didn't like it. And then I saw the rushes. After you shoot, the next day you see what you've just recorded. And I saw it and I said, holy crap, this is pretty creepy. And I fell in love with him too. Like, you know, and he ended up, I think he's going to be on the poster. So, yeah, I tried to change it up a little bit, painting it green, you know, and it's got kind of like little tendrils coming out of the holes. Like a sea mollusk. I was just trying to come up with something a little bit different to your norm. And, but yeah, everyone seems to really, to love him because he's so much of a big brute.
Absolutely, and I know he is you do get a bit of a character in the film. I'm not going to spoil anything for that, but I do want to ask, how did you get involved with the film? Have you worked with Tony before?
No, it was the first time, and he told a friend of a friend kind of thing, and so he came to my workshop in Melbourne, and just the first thing he just said, "Oh, look, I want to do this film," and I think the first thing I said to him was, can we get an R rating? And he said, yeah, why not? And, cause he's a pretty sick puppy, you know, Tony. He's a lovely man, but I think, you know, like, to write this film, it's pretty full on. So I said, let's go for an R rating. I said, because not many people in Australia go to the movies. And I said, so, you know, it's very difficult to make money at the cinemas if you're looking just at Australia. So I said, you gotta think the world, you know, the people in the States and the UK and Europe, they love the gore and they love the horror. So I said, let's just go for that. And so he was right on board at the start, and we clicked straight away, and so that's that was it. We just clicked really well, and it goes to show, because we're winning a fair few awards around the world at the moment, and the film festival. So I think we've won 6 all up at the moment before the movie even comes out.
So it's really kind of picking up, like foreign audiences are really digging this.
Yeah. So we've won, I think 3 prosthetic awards. One in the UK, or Canada. There's been Italy and Spain. So it shows that there's it's got a bit of heart to it, so in an evil way.
Yeah, absolutely. And having watched the film, I want to say those awards are absolutely deserved. You're welcome. Another aspect I want to touch on is not just the masks, which are definitely the standout feature, but there's also a lot of slowly implemented gore, I think is the best way to describe it. It's not just some quick flash in the pan sort of, you know, blink and it's gone kind of moment. We actually get to see drawn out moments of blood and guts. And tell us a bit about how that happens, and I know the practical effects you use, and is practical effects falling out of style, or is it something more heavily on?
It's a good point. A few years ago, it was all CG, and we were just there to help CG a little bit. And now it's kind of come back the other way. A lot of directors and people are kind of wanting to bring back the practical effects. The CG still kind of is. In all these Marvel films, is just heavily computer generated, but there are a lot of people now wanting to go back to that practical kind of style, and it's tangible. People feel it, even if it's a bit hokey, it doesn't matter, because people know that it's craftsmanship. Whereas if it looks a bit kind of CG, and if it's not good CG, it looks terrible. So people are less forgiving, I think, and. You've got to get a connection. I think that's the number one thing with an audience. You want people to feel, and I think it's still a little bit flat in the CG. So we were able to go that practical and still use some CG to help fix up our what we can't do. And it was a $1.5 million film, so we had 20 days to shoot it. So we were basically running from set back to the makeup van, putting on prosthetics. It was so tiring.
And
some things didn't work for us, sometimes you get a blockage in the bloodline and it pops and blood squirts everywhere, but where it's supposed to squirt. So yes, we had some problems too, but that's the great thing with practical. Sometimes it works.
Yeah,
in producing one of these pieces of amazing prosthetics, how long does it take?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, it depends on, the masks. We had 6 weeks all up, and there was, 8 masks. I think we made more than 8, but I think we only showed the eight. So we had a couple of extras, but so they were quick. We had to sculpt them fast, like, you know, less than a week. Then we had to mold them. So normally on a better budget, you know, you'd spend, you know, but maybe 3 to 4 weeks on a mask. So if it was, you know, depending on the style of it, but yeah, well, so we had to cram all those masks in, and then also all the silicon propped heads that we split, and limbs and arms and, you know, all that kind of stuff all had to be at the same time. So it was frantic, so to speak. So so we couldn't really, you know, stop. And you know, that 6 weeks, then I had to go to Canberra. So we had to pack the van, go up there, and I still had some things that were unfinished. So it was still late night, you know, weekend, while we're shooting, get it all over the line.
Well, the results are absolutely fantastic, and I love them. One last question before we run out of time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
How did you get into special effects makeup?
Well, basically, when I was a kid, all my family, they all loved horror films, my cousins, and I was a little chicken. So I hated it. And then when I was about 10 or 11, I saw this like behind the scenes video, which wasn't that kind of popular back then, behind the scenes. And it was called Scream Greats by a guy called Tom Savini, a famous effects guy in the States. And he was so charismatic, and in behind the scenes, he showed you how he created all these effects for Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, and Friday the 13th. And I just saw it as the ultimate magic trick. And you know, I think we all love magic. And so when I saw that, I realized that these horror movies weren't real. And I think it was kind of therapeutic. I think it was a lot cheaper than going to a psychiatrist, really. So I started falling in love with makeup and the character makeups and changing people's appearance. And it's really, at that stage, Australia was very difficult to get any work. So I kept at it, and I lost faith, and then I got it back, and then someone gave me a bit of a go, and then now I get to do it for a living.
Absolutely.
Did you
end up horrifying any of your school art teachers?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. we had some pretty crazy stories, like I'd go to school with a burn on my hand and stuff, and scare everyone, and that kind of thing. So it's good. And then I beat my granddad up with his makeup and, you know, swollen eye, and he actually tricked a few people that nearly ended up in a fight for real.
Halloween must be a heap of fun at your place.
Every day's like Halloween.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Larry, we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us on Geeks Out. The Furies comes out in select cinemas
November
7th? This Thursday, yeah, cool. November 7th. Larry Van Dienhoven, thank you so much for joining us.
Look me up. Okay, Chris, you did. No worries at all. Definitely. Right, and Clayton. Have a good night.
Thanks a lot.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Pedro Almodovar teams up with his longtime collaborators Antonio Banderas and Penelope Cruz in Painted Glory, a nostalgic ode to an aging filmmaker, one who perhaps echoes Almodovar himself. Critically acclaimed, outstanding in its cinematography, and lush in its storytelling, Almodovar is back with a true return to form with Painted Glory, and with one of the finest vessels that have been lent to both Banderas and Cruz. Painted Glory opens November 7 at Cinema Nova Carlton. Joy sponsor.
This here, Morty, is the Geeks Out Planet in the Joy Dimension.
Gee, Rick, I don't know. That sounds pretty gay.
Yeah, everything is gay here. Ridiculously gay.
Oh my God, Rick, what's that?
Oh yeah, and there are those things. You're on Geeks Out. Joy, whatever. Wobble up, dub, dub!
Wasn't Larry a lovely guy?
Indeed he was.
Oh, that was such a wonderful interview. I'm really glad we get to talk to these behind the stage people who, you know, like, they're just as important as bringing these projects to life as, you know, the director and the main stars and just, oh.
And a little behind the scenes here at Geeks Out, we actually had the opportunity to interview the director, one of the stars, or the prosthetics makeup dude. We went prosthetics makeup dude.
Yeah, definitely. Just because, like, I know. I feel like we get the same things from the actor and the director and the star anyway.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.